Christianity. And I think these are important things because they're things that most of us who are sitting in this audience have heard for years and years and years, but it may be that we need to be regrounded, as it were, in those things and reestablish our convictions and remind ourselves that these are not traditions of the Pepper Road Church of Christ, but rather these are things that are based on God's Word, and that's why we do the things that we do, is because we're drawing authority from His will. And we've talked about a number of things in regards to that. This morning, what I want us to look at is the idea of why we believe the things that we do in regards to the roles of men and women in the church. Why is it, for example, that this morning as we met together that it was men who served at the table and Brad who led our singing, and you know, the men are the ones in the congregation who have taken a leading role? Why is it that Fried and David serve as elders? Why is it that Sam and Tony serve us as deacons? Why is it that men do the things that they do, and why do we see that women play a particular role? Why have we gone by those guidelines? It's interesting to me, and sad to me in a lot of ways, that modern religion has done some serious rewriting in regards to the role of men and women. When you begin to listen to modern-day religious people who are claiming to try to serve God, one of the things that you're starting to see is in many, if not most, denominational practices, you see that they are including women more and more in leadership in their worship services. And what we see in regards to that is pressure put on people by society to allow this kind of thing to happen. And so you see denominations who at one point would have believed the same thing that we have believed change their views and now allowed for a more broader range of responsibility in regards to these things and changing the roles that God has assigned to men and women. As we look around us, and even in some churches of Christ, we see women beginning to lead in prayer. They're leading in singing, they're preaching, and we could go on down the list. And we see that in denomination after denomination. But the question is, what do we see in God's Word? What are the roles as God has laid them out? And why do we begin to see those people departing from those things, and may we be grounded and convicted in the things that we believe so that we know that we're doing things that are based on God's will? What does the Bible say? Because ultimately, as we have said in all of these lessons, our authority must be derived from that and from that alone. As we examine the roles, the first thing we see is that men have been given the responsibility of leadership. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy and go with me to chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, we see laid down for us the qualifications of those who would serve as elders and those as deacons. In Timothy, he describes it as bishop. That's a synonymous word with elder. And what I want to do is look at this, and it's fairly obvious that the one who will fill this position is one who is a man. Look with me beginning in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Read with me first of all verses 1 and 2. Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach." By the very qualifications that are laid down in God's word for one who will serve as an elder, it means that it's going to have to be a man. There is no woman who would ever qualify as the husband of one wife. That will not happen. As you move on down and you look with me beginning in verse 8, and we'll read verse 8 and then jump down to verse 11 of this same chapter. "Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money." Look at verse 11. Some more qualifications are listed, but pick up reading with me there. "Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well." There is no way that we can begin to argue that a woman could serve as an elder or a deacon in a church that is striving to serve God. We see the very basic guidelines laid down, the very qualifications laid down, and we see that that is going to be a man who will fill that, and we begin to see as we look through the scripture that man is given the responsibility of leadership in regards to the church. I want you to go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians and go to chapter 11. There's a basic principle laid down here that I think would apply to the things that we're discussing this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I want you to read with me verses 2 and 3. Many times we get involved in a conversation in regards to the covering when we read this passage, but I want you to look at verses 2 and 3 because I think we see some general principles that apply, whether we're talking about in the church or even outside. Look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 2. Paul again says, this time to the church at Corinth, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of man, or the head of Christ, is God. And so we see, as we look at example after example in the New Testament, when you look at the apostles and you look at the ones who were given the responsibility for leadership in the New Testament church, we see that that responsibility is given to men. Men have the responsibility to be the leaders and to provide the headship and the direction that is needed, not only in our worship services, but we could go into a broader scope, though we're not going to try to do that this morning. As we begin to look at the role that a woman is to assume, I think the best way to describe that role is one of submission. Will you turn with me to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, just over a couple of pages, and read with me a couple of verses in this chapter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, begin with me at verse 34. We'll read verses 34 and 35. It says, "Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church." Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, again we see a similar instruction given to Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, read with me if you would, verses 8 through 12. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. Paul says, "I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women, professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control." But the idea that is presented by Paul as he writes to both the church at Corinth and as he writes to Timothy is the same thing. That in regards to the things that take place here, a woman is not to take a position of leadership. She is not to find herself in a position where she is assuming authority over a man. But rather, she is to learn in silence. She is to learn in quietness is the idea that is presented. And so as we look at her role and we see what God has laid down, He has given men the responsibility to stand up and be the leaders of a group such as this. And He has given women the responsibility to be in submission to that and to learn in silence and to allow man to assume his position of leadership. Now, as we look at those things, I think it's fairly plain what the Bible says. I don't think it's that hard for us to understand this, but it may be difficult with modern-day pressures of society for us to put this into place. And what I want to do now is, as we have done in past lessons, look at some questions that may come up. Somebody looks at this and they say, you know, isn't that just degrading to women? Isn't it just degrading to women to put them in some kind of subservient role like that? I want you to think about this. Why have we come to a point where even among a group like this, there may be both men and women who would sit here and ask that question? Why have we come to that point? I would suggest to you that it is not God who has described the role that He has given to woman as one that is degrading. It is society that has come to a point where they have described this role as one that is degrading. And the reason that we may begin to ask questions in regards to this, and the reason we see the pressure being put on modern day religion to adopt things that are not in accordance with God's word, is because society has come to a point where they're placing such tremendous significance on this issue, and somehow we now feel pressure to adopt that. It is not God who has placed woman in some kind of a degrading role. Man has come to a point where they have described this role as degrading and have completely violated what God has said about it and have turned it into something that it's not. When we begin to look at the role that God has given both to men and women, it is one that is vitally important, as we'll talk about a little bit later on. But may we never come to a point where we're asking questions such as this, though they are being posed. And we look at this role and we say, well, that's just a degrading role. Society describes it as degrading. God does not. And may we not forget that difference. And may we not become so enamored with the modern day philosophy that we begin to put those questions, or they begin to allow us to put those questions in our minds. But rather, may we examine God's word. And may we determine what these roles are. And as we see them, may we see the wonderful society and the wonderful pattern that God has laid into place for those of us who would strive to serve Him, and may we follow that to the very best of our ability. I would suggest to you that these roles are equally important. God has laid them down. He has described for us what we need to be. And He has described for us the importance of each one. And may we not come to look at one or the other as better than the other, but rather may we realize that they are both absolutely necessary in order for things to function as they should. And may we not buy into modern day philosophy that is being thrown at us from every direction. But I would suggest to you that the very ones who are throwing these type of ideas at us are the most hypocritical bunch of people you'll ever find in all your life. There is no desire to follow after God's will. There is no desire even to accomplish the things that they say they're trying to accomplish. It's a hypocritical political argument that is being thrown out. And it's very easy, I'm afraid, for us to be able to buy into those things. Somebody else says, well, you know, what about other churches? And we've already mentioned this. You know, there are other churches out there who are using women in this capacity. What about them, you know? Are you saying that all of them are wrong? I would have to say yes. If we come to a point where in our practices we begin to deviate from the things, and we've said this over and over, we'll say it again. If we begin to deviate from the things that are laid down in God's Word, then we find ourselves in a very vulnerable position. We find ourselves in a position where we have taken our own desires and our own thoughts and have turned those things into what we would say God would want us to do, though they're not. And you hear all kind of twisted logic in regards to why denominations have allowed these type of practices to take place, but not a single one of them can be backed up with doctrinal authority from God's Word. And unless they can turn in God's Word and demonstrate to me and to us what we need to be doing in regards to that and any changes that need to be made, then we need to let them be accursed. We don't need to allow the fact that other religions and other denominations are allowing these things to take place come to a point where we say that we need to do the same. Just as we do not need to allow modern philosophy to cause that to happen, we do not need to allow modern religion to cause that to happen. And even though if we come to a point where every other church in Limestone County has women preaching and women leading in prayer and women leading in singing and women serving as elders and women serving as deacons, the church that meets here must stand alone on God's Word. And God's Word doesn't permit that. No matter how hard we may try, and no matter how much we may wish it to be different, though I doubt there are very many here who do, it's not there. And we cannot allow the pressures of modern day religion and modern day philosophy in the political realm allow us to change our minds. Any church that would allow those type of things to take place is failing to follow the pattern. And we cannot allow that to take place. Somebody says, you know, I understand that, and that makes some sense. But what about something where really there doesn't seem to be much of a leadership role in the church, something like serving at the table or some other type of thing similar to that? Wouldn't that be okay? I mean, she doesn't actually have to speak, or she doesn't really have to do anything. And I mean, really, she's serving, you know, so that's... Again, I would question the purpose behind such an argument. It seems to me that as we look at the responsibility that man has been given, the responsibility of leadership, that as we stand before a group of people like this, whether it's to be in the capacity that I am, or as Brad has done this morning in leading the singing, or those men who have led in prayer, or as we stand before each other to partake, to serve the Lord's Supper and to pass that Lord's Supper before us, there is a position of authority there. There is a position of leadership being displayed by one who would stand before this group in whatever capacity that may be. And it seems to me also that as we look at those things, we are sitting on a very thin limb in whatever justification we may try to make for such activity. But we see that as a way that people are trying to straddle the fence. And I would suggest to you that that's not what we need to be trying to do. It would seem to me that we are seeking to serve our own self-interest when we begin to argue points such as this. And may we be careful about that, because we don't need to be trying to get as close to the line as we could possibly get without going over. Rather, we need to make sure that we abide within the realms that God has given us and the authority that He has given us, so that in the things that we do, we are pleasing to Him. I don't believe for one second that as Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, and then as the Apostle Paul has written to the church at Corinth and to Timothy, and then as those things have been passed on to us, that there was ever any intention for a woman to come into a position where she is serving in some position of authority over a church by providing that in that way. I want us to consider some important points that I think need to be made in regards to this. As we consider the roles that we are to play, both as men and as women, The first thing that I would suggest is that we must find contentment in our roles. There's no one who is sitting in this audience this morning who is a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. There's not a one. Every one of us who is sitting here found ourselves in exactly the same position. We found ourselves alienated from God. We found ourselves with only the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to bring us back. And because God has laid down particular roles that I am to play and that you are to play, does not mean in any way that what those roles, as those roles are laid out, that I somehow find myself as a second-class citizen, as some have described. God has laid down roles that are fulfilling and that are satisfying for both men and women. The reason sometimes I think we find ourselves in a position of dissatisfaction is not because of what God has laid down, but again, it's because of what society is pumping into us every day that we live. God did not make these roles in which we should find discontentment, if that's a word. But rather, He laid out these roles where if we will play them as we should, we will be perfectly content with the lives that we lead. There's not a single person who is sitting in this audience this morning who does not have a part to play. And our lack of contentment with the roles that God has laid out comes when we seek to go beyond what God has authorized and to do those things that are not found in His Word. And may we be careful. May we not fall into that trap. I would also suggest to you that there is no way that we can somehow change these roles by whatever imagination we may come up with in regards to that and think that we're going to do a better job than God did. We find ourselves as men and women made by God to fill the roles that He has given us. And one of the things that we are hearing from modern day society is that there is no difference between men and women, and I'm here to tell you that's not true. God made us so that we can fulfill the roles that He has given us. And our discontentment with these roles and the problems that we run into are not when we're filling the role, but the problem comes when we fail to be content with what God has placed us in and we strive to go beyond that or broaden the scope of that and we find ourselves on a slippery slope. We must realize that God has made us to do what He has assigned us to do. And if we will find contentment in that and fulfill that to the very best of our ability, we will lead, as children of God, one of the happiest lives of anybody who's sitting on this earth. But too many times there's no contentment. Too many times we seek to broaden the scope. Too many times we're trying to go beyond and do a little bit more because society has told us that's what we need to do. May we realize that we can be content in the roles in which we find ourselves. That's the way God planned it, and if we will fulfill it, we will do well. The final thing that I would like to suggest to you this morning, had to put this one on a different overhead, is we must also realize the importance of the roles. When we think about the role that man is to play as the role of leadership, it is vitally important that that role be fulfilled. We need men who are willing to step up and take that responsibility. We need men, as we were led in prayer, I forget if it was Wednesday night or last Sunday, but who will prepare themselves to serve as elders in the church. We need men who will prepare themselves to preach and teach the gospel of Christ. We need men who will step up and take charge in these type of areas. We need that to take place. But I'll suggest to you at the same time, the role that a woman is to play is no less important. It is vitally important that she do what she needs to be doing and fulfilling the role that she needs to be fulfilling in the church. And if she doesn't, we find everything beginning to break down. I would suggest to you that we must realize the importance, not only the importance of the leadership role that men play, but also the role that women play. The congregation here would not be the same if women did not do the things that they do in their service to God. I'll guarantee you that. And as we look down through the course of history, as we look through God's Word, we see over and over again tremendous roles and significant roles that women played, though they were remaining within the confines of what God would have them to do, but in some cases it changed the course of history. May we realize that the role of a woman can be no less significant even now. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a passage that I think kind of summarizes this as we look at the importance of the role that we are all to play. When I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I don't look and see, well, this is talking specifically to men or this is talking specifically to women. This is talking to Christians. And I want you to read this with me as we think about this idea this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, begin with me in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Or if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And so we look at ourselves. Doesn't matter whether you're male or female. We find ourselves as members of the body of Jesus Christ. We each have a part to play. Each of us sitting here has a role to fill. May we never not fulfill that role, because we're looking at the other and saying, well, if I could have that one, it would be better. Each is vitally important to the functioning of the body of Christ. And may I realize that. May I realize the importance. May I be content with the role that God has given me, and may I fulfill it to the very best of my ability, whether man or woman. And may we not allow the pressures of modern-day society and modern-day religion to cause us to change our view into some of the very basics that God has laid down for us in His Word. Our authority must come from His Word and from His Word alone. And if we begin to depart from that, we find ourselves departing from Him. We invite you to come to Jesus Christ this morning. You have that tremendous opportunity as you sit here. And it doesn't matter whether you're male or female, the call comes in the same way. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be baptized for those sins to be washed away. Come up a new creature, a child of God, one who is saved, one who is on the road that leads to heaven. We invite you to do that this morning. I know there are people who are sitting right here who need to do that. Let's not wait another day, but rather let's make this the first Sunday of a new year, the Sunday that you decide to come to Jesus Christ. We invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.